This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, curious people. Welcome to Pretty Curious, our podcast on all things beauty. I'm Jonathan Van Ness. Ooh, and my Phoebe raspy voice came out. It's a Monday morning and we're here and thriving. I love to see it. This week, we're talking to the contributing beauty director of Cosmopolitan UK, Keeks Reed. We're talking all things beauty industry, micro trends, and where she thinks the industry is headed. And also, she's just like an incredible person, incredible writer. I love her story. I love that I've gotten to meet her. And I'm excited to get to talk with her. But before we get to our conversation with her, it's time to get ready with me. You guys, it's giving Vegas. It is so dry here. Even when it's not super hot, it's very dry. And it's been really eye-opening for me with JVN hair because I'm seeing what people's hair goes through in kind of a different way in a different climate. And it's been really kind of exciting for me. We're working on a bunch of different formulas at JVN Hair. But being in this different climate has just got me just percolating with ideas as far as the hair care goes. But I am relying heavily on our Nurture Mask. It is coming in really handy in our pre-wash scalp oil. And you guys, you know we love some good Lush in this house. So I got two of those refrigerator masks. I got, which I can't remember the names of, and I'll have to share it on @curious@JVN on our stories if you're vibing it. But I got two masks. I'll tell you how those go. I love their little refrigerated masks. It's so fucking nice. I got the best shit from Lush. The description is wrap yourself in a comforting embrace of this limited edition shower gel. It's the same scent as the Butterball bath bomb. It's got organic cocoa butter. And literally my skin from using just the body wash with no moisturizer afterwards felt so good because I went to Lush to get body moisturizer because my body's been all dry. I love the scent. It's got Lang Lang oil. I just love Lush. They're so good. Oh, I'm going to sneeze. Oh, no, I'm not. Never mind. Now let's get into our listener question. So this person says, I loved your episode with Nyamka, the LA beautyologist last week. Curious about specifically Gen X skincare. Any advice for that sweet spot between baby boomers and millennials? So let's Google Gen X age range. Gen X, X age range. Okay, so that's going to be like 44 to 59, beautiful age box. So I think for these people, it's always about sun care or SPF and protecting your skin from the sun, but it's even more so as we get older. So the older we get, it becomes even more important. So we're definitely going to want to lean heavily onto our SPFs. You're going to want to make sure that you have SPFs to take with you throughout the day to reapply, whether that's like a powder or you actually have your sunscreen with you. But I think skincare-based SPFs are really important. You know, I'm a Summer Fridays girly. A lot of dermatologists have their own, you know, things that they like, but making sure they have some great skincare ingredients in there with your SPF is really nice. Retinol is going to be really good for your Gen Xers. It's going to be great for fine lines. If you do use retinols in a place that is really just sun heavy, making sure again that you're really SPFing your life away the next day. Don't wear retinols in the morning, put them on at night. Then you're going to want to wash your face before your day skincare. And then obviously really heavy on your SPF and like visors. And then also I would say, I love Jet Lag by Summer Fridays too, but a more like thick occlusive mask to just settle the skin. I got that oat one from Lush. Now speaking of, but just something like that's really like calming and soothing to the skin, that's going to deeply hydrate it and keep the moisture in that you have, is going to be really good. And then I think retinols start little, work your way up. I really like Catherine Hiron's Skin Rocks retinols are really nice. But there's a lot of different retinols. There's also, you know, nice ones from the drugstore. Oh, also, my esthetician yesterday did say vitamin C for desert. And so I'm going to get like a standalone vitamin C, because she did say it's nice to put on alone and it's really good for this sort of climate. So Gen Xer queen, I'm going to say retinol, really heavy into your SPF. And also let's fuck with some vitamin C to kind of brighten it up. So that was a gorgeous question, and we love Vegas. But now it's time for us to get to our conversation with Keeks. Keeks Reed started her career in beauty journalism in 2013 as an editorial assistant for Black Hair and Hair magazine. She worked her way up to acting editor of Black Hair at just 23 years old. Now she is the contributing beauty director of Cosmopolitan UK and works with a range of companies from consumer and trade magazines and websites to beauty brands and salons. Keeks, welcome to Pretty Curious. How are you?
I'm good, my love. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you.
I'm so excited to chat with you. I can't stand it. But can I just say, I really want to skip everything to right now. I'm minding my own business on Instagram like a month ago or something. And I'd already shortlisted you to talk to you about beauty and Pretty Curious, because we got to meet through JVN Hair like years ago. And we spent like, because we've been together twice.
Yeah.
We go way back. I follow you and I'm minding my own business. And then I see you make this post where it's like, I'm going to hair school. And then I was like, oh my God, that is really all I want to talk about.
Okay.
Because I mean, I want to talk about your career as well, obviously, like, because it's storied and it's incredible. But I just love someone going to hair school later. Oh. I love someone who's like kind of been like hairdresser adjacent, but now you're like, honey, I'm going behind the chair. Yeah. I also think you're going to be the most incredible hairstylist. And I just am obsessed with this plot twist and journey for you. So, and also, is it true? Because like, in England and in Europe, don't you have to go to hair school for like way longer than what we do?
So I don't really understand the nuances between like how it changes from country to country, but I know we don't have to go to cosmetology school, but you have things like an NBQ qualification that you have to get, and you have to move up via that qualification to be from like a apprentice to a senior stylist. So you can't call yourself a senior stylist till you've done that. But then there's also so many like Afro hairdressers, for instance, that learn just like at home and on their pairs. And then that's just how they've learned and they've gone to school later. So I think you can do it in so many different ways. But yeah, I've chosen to start at 32.
So does that mean that you're like apprenticing at a salon, or is there like Cosmo schools in the United Kingdom?
So I'm currently learning with Redken, the color brand. I'm learning my color through them, but mainly theory and then a bit of practical. But really what I want to do is cutting. So I'm going to be learning cutting at Harry's Salon, which is based on the King's Road. It's very posh, very fancy.
So you'll just go like every day, like 3 days, 2 days? What's going to be like?
It's going to be once a week, because I've still got to earn money. Like, so I'm still going to feed myself. So it's going to be once a week. So it's going to probably take me longer. But I'm still at the moment, because the reason I started this journey is because I wanted to represent hairdressing in the best way possible when I speak about it on television, when I write about it. And I've been doing that for a decade. But the only way that I feel like I can improve that is actually touching the hair, trying to do it and seeing firsthand how hard it can be. Because I know it can be hard, but I want to feel it. So I initially started this because I wanted to become a better journalist. But now I'm like, well, it would be silly to just learn it and not, it's like doing your driving practical test and not ever doing a proper test and qualifying. So I do think I want to qualify now, which is exciting.
So you're minding your own business and you're like, I want to become a beauty journalist?
Yes. So to be honest, I feel like beauty journalists didn't really have the pizzazz and the clout that it has now. When I was younger, I didn't really want to be a beauty journalist. I just knew I wanted to be a writer for a cool magazine. But beauty was such a little sister of fashion that I didn't even know that you could do that. So I originally wanted to be either like a celebrity interviewer. In the UK, there was these newspaper like magazine journalists called 3am Girls, and they'd go to parties and like get wrecked with celebrities and then come back and talk about the gossip, like the original Gossip Girl. And I don't know why I thought, oh, I might be good at that, because I really don't ever go out and party. But I was like, that sounds fun. So I started my first proper internship was at a newspaper on the features desk. And it was while I was there, the intern at the time, Zoe, who's now one of my closest friends, and she's now the head of beauty and lifestyle at this paper, was in the beauty cupboard as a beauty intern. And I was like, oh, like I can come and help you. I finished my task. And then I was like, oh my God, you can touch all these, you can take these products home. You can take whatever you want. She was like, yeah, just take it. We're just going to like give it away otherwise. I was like, okay, I'm obsessed. And that's how I kind of grew into like my love of beauty and understood that that was like a proper role within the magazines, within the magazine world. And yeah, that's how my little journey began.
How did you like first get into it? Like get into like working with beauty companies and magazines?
I interned on and off throughout my time at uni because I went to university in London and I'm born and bred in London. So lived with my parents and interned through there. So I didn't have to intern too much after uni before getting a job. But I applied for a lot of jobs within media and the only one that got back to me was Black Hair, which was the best, most saving grace because it meant that I kind of went into the industry and I didn't feel like othered. I didn't feel different because I was writing to Black women for Black women. And I got that job before I graduated. So I finished uni in May 2013. And my parents, I love them. They're amazing. They're so supportive. But they were like, you can't intern for free for more than a year because that's just being unemployed. So if you don't get a job within a year, you have to go to back to school and do your PGCE, which is to become a teacher. And I was like, I love teachers. They're amazing, but I would not be good at it. I'm not patient enough. So I was like,
I don't want that acronym. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
I was like, I'm not going to be good at that. I'm not going to enjoy it. So yeah, I was very much like applying for every single job. And this job at Black Hair came up and I got it in the October. So from May to the October, I was looking for jobs and then got that in October and I graduated in the November. So I technically graduated after I started my first job, which was, yeah, it was really fun. It was a great introduction to the industry because like I said, I just felt just so normal and never othered or different or marginalized at all because my editor was called Keisha. That's where Keeks comes from. Because I couldn't be called Akeisha and Keisha because it was so confusing because I was her sister. So I was like, well, my friends call me Keeks. And then that just stuck. And now everyone calls me Keeks.
So one thing I hear about that story thing is really important is that like you were applying for things you said from May to October. And then only one of the places that you were applying for got back to. That's giving me like resilience.
Thank you.
Because I feel like a lot of people like when they don't hear back or if they like either don't hear back or if they hear a no, then they're like, this isn't for me. And I feel like when I hear successful people's stories, it's like knowing that you have to keep going, like, and knowing that you'll like find your, like, you'll find the opportunity that you're meant to find, but you won't find it if you stop looking.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. And I do appreciate that. I do think I'm quite resilient. And I think you have to be in this industry, especially nowadays with social media, you have to be so resilient. But I really do have my family to thank for that because they build strong women and I wasn't going to leave this industry. I wasn't going to go and do my PGCE. I just wasn't going to do that. I was going to be a journalist. So it's like, someone's going to hire me.
Do you ever need a thick skin to be on social media? That is so true. Now, these fucking people.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Since 2013, how do you think social media has changed the beauty industry and just changed us? Like, are we meaner?
Oh, I feel like we are. I think that social media gives us a platform, and I don't engage in it, but I think it gives people a platform to say things to people that they would absolutely never say to their face, ever. And I'm like, I'm from Southeast London. Like, I've never been spoken to the way that I get spoken to sometimes on social media. So I think that it's changed us for the worse in so many ways, but it has opened up so many doors for people and given opportunities to meet people and get jobs and move countries in the way that you never would have when I was younger. Like, when I graduated in 2013, there was the job of social media manager didn't really even exist for most magazines. Like, people were just mucking in. There was no TikTok. There was barely Snapchat. There's just Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, but that was just for pictures. It just didn't exist in the way that it does now. And now I feel like it's created so many jobs and created a new media. It's where people turn to now for things. People don't even Google things. My niece said she doesn't Google anymore. She just types it in on TikTok.
I've been doing that too. Does that mean I'm young?
You're Gen Z,
babe. Very with it. I was going to ask you about like micro trends and social, but I want to go like, well, first of all, I do want to ask about that, but I want to go a little deeper. First of all, you tell us like what a micro trend is.
So micro trend are these trends that you see crop up that are normally hashtagable. So it will be like tomato girl makeup, strawberry girl makeup, latte makeup, mob wife. And it's something that's easily replicated when you buy specific products, or like it's got a very formulaic way of creating the trend. Whereas trends, I really do feel like a geriatric when I talk like this, like trends back in my day, but trends that I was used to growing up and then moving into when I first started in this industry, they would be created, they'd be curated backstage or created backstage, sorry. And we would curate them as assistants because we would have our little dictaphone and go up to the makeup person and the nail person and ask them where they got their inspiration from. And then we would say, oh, we saw that at the Burberry show. We saw that. Oh, we saw that last week. We saw that, at, you know, in Paris. We put those together and it might be something as like generic as glass skin, but at least they were being pulled from different reference points. We would make a page about it, talk about where the inspiration came from. The consumer would read that and we would, you know, talk about products that you can use, but you would then use that as inspiration as opposed to directly replicating it. So that's where I feel like micro trends differ from trends, because they are directly replicated. It's like, if you don't use these products, you're not doing that trend. If you're not doing freckles with the Freck pen, you're not doing strawberry girl makeup.
Which I think has made us, I so see that. And I also feel like it's just made us like not as resourceful and independent.
Yeah.
Cause like a lot of times I feel like I'll do like a video about like, you know, doing my curls or something. Mm-hmm. I always try to give people the information and the tools so they can like take that info, take those tools and then make it work for themselves, yeah, versus like do A to Z. Cause there's so much like uniqueness,
exactly,
onto that person. But it's like I don't make those generalizations, but a lot of people don't have that attention, yeah, span to be able to like pull the stuff, yeah, out that will work for them.
And it's not, I feel like it's just not their fault, because back in our day, we had to ask Jeeves. Like, I couldn't just go on TikTok and ask about something or go on Google and Google my homework. Like, I had to ask Jeeves or ask my mum or dad or look in an encyclopedia.
Or at least ask your hairdresser, who probably knew if it was a beauty thing.
Yes.
It's like, or you would at least have to ask someone who like has more experience than some rando on the internet.
And it wasn't just immediately available to you. So that's what I mean. Right. Information wasn't as immediately available. So therefore, we had to be more resourceful. So we would look at something and think, oh, I like that. I'm going to try and do that with this thing. Whereas it's like, they need to know the exact thing. And that's because they people are used to that now. And it's not just young people. We're all becoming more used to it, right? Because everything's just immediately available to us.
As a beauty broadcaster, as a beauty journalist, how do you decide like what stories to pitch? Or like when people pitch you stories, how do you know as a director, like, yes, that's interest. I don't think that that's interest.
Yeah.
Or like, how do you decide that?
So as a writer, I'm really lucky now that I can be more discerning with what I pitch. And that's like the best thing that's come from the experience that I've gained is that I'm now trusted with like bigger pieces. I don't have to like come up with 10 pitches because I need to make money this week. Like it's nice that I can be a bit more discerning now. So I definitely pitch more like human interest stories with beauty. So first person things or like things of my childhood that's reflected in me now, or like my mum's influence in beauty, like those kind of human interest stories. And at Cosmo, because so much of the beauty budget was used on me as a contributor, which was amazing because they loved working with me, they didn't have as many new voices in beauty. So then when I was brought on full time and that budget was freed up, I was really interested in getting as many voices that we hadn't heard from before. I personally love first person pieces. I think it's the way that traditional media kind of bridges with new media, because if you think about the things that we're watching on, well, I know I'm watching and that's on my algorithm, it's like story time and, you know, I tried this and this is what I thought. And I love those stories and that's getting those different points of view. And I wanted to bring that to Cosmo, but not to shade any other media because I consume it as well, but I didn't want it to be like only I tried this and this is what I thought. I wanted it to be more interesting. We had like someone talking about their hair loss. We had someone talking about laser for, chemical pills for treating their acne, and those stories that they've only done and only they can write about. That's what I wanted to commission.
That's cool. What do you, from like the beginning of your career to now, what frustrates you about the beauty industry, and what are you excited for the future of the beauty industry?
That's a really good question. What frustrates me, and it will continue to, is the pay, if I'm being honest, and because it prohibits so many people from getting into the industry. It's so like elitist, it just is. And I don't come from a really rich family. I don't come from a, you know, I had a really lovely, very like middle class upbringing, but I'm lucky because I lived in London. So I could work for free for ages, but I know people that have lived elsewhere in the UK that haven't been able to come down and do free internships or come down and only earn like in this day and age, like £20,000. And that's just their salary as like an editor, like assistant editor and stuff. Like it's really quite bad. So I think for me it's the pay. But what I'm excited about the fact that you don't have to go the traditional route now. I'm excited that there was no way in hell that I could have just been a freelancer and out of uni, like, and just made it. I remember between Black Hair and Hair magazines and my job at Hairdressers Journal, which is a trade magazine in the UK, trade hairdressing. I was freelance, but babe, I was unemployed. I was absolutely unemployed. I think I maybe had like one project that I worked on. I luckily had some savings, so I did a coding course so that I could kind of learn while I wasn't working. But I just didn't have enough contacts. I didn't network enough. I just didn't know how to get in. But now there are so many freelancers. I'd say most of my friends in this industry are freelance and they haven't spent that much time on a brand. And that's so incredible that you can become so successful now without needing a Vogue or an Elle or a Cosmo. While they're still relevant, you can do it without them as well, which I think is pretty cool.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Are you ready?
Yes.
No, I'm doing that. Are you ready for our rapid fire round?
Yes, I am.
Rapid fire. What's your go-to budget beauty recommendation?
Budget beauty. I would say...
Under 10 pounds.
Oh. Is anything under 10 pounds? Okay, I would say Garnier Micellar Water. I would say that.
I have that.
So good.
I fucking have that. I have that. So I take my makeup off with. Ah! Yeah. Splurge recommendation, beauty or otherwise. It could be a Birkin. It could be like a great, like great mascara, anything.
Okay, I've got two things. Can I do two things?
Yes.
One is a product. It's SkinCeuticals CE Furulic. It's the best vitamin C in the whole world. It's like 160 something pounds. It's ridiculous, but I would buy it every single month because it's what makes my skin glow. It's the best vitamin C I've ever used. And then this is rapid fire, so I'm talking really fast. Tell me to slow down if you need
me
to.
No, I'm obsessed. It's so good.
And then I always splurge on like health stuff. So for me, I would like, if I'm in pain or if I'm like stressed, I would get a massage. I would get acupuncture. I'd get lymphatic drainage. I would get cupping. Like, I don't care. I splurge on anything. Especially
what's
like,
been your biggest, nicest splurge spa, like body work, like wellness thing, like your favoriteest thing like that you've ever done?
My favorite appointment is always with a practitioner called Ada O. She is insane. Like, she's so amazing. The way that she reads your body, she reads your tongue. And luckily, like, I've always managed to do it via work. So, but I will 100% pay to see her. Like, I love her. She reads your tongue and then she will tell me, like, you know, you've got not enough iron. She told me once, which could have been quite depressing, but I was like, it's fine now. But she was like, if you wanted to have a baby, you could not. Your body is too tired. Okay. You need to slow down and we need to do some work around your womb. And I was like, okay, cool. Good thing I didn't want a baby. But she's great like that. Like, she can really read your energy, your tongue, your insides. So I love Eastern and Western medicine working together. Like, to me, that's like proper symbiosis. That's where I'm like in my calm state.
I love that hybrid.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. What's a product you never leave home without?
Do you know what? I think it'd be lip products. So a brown lip liner and like Aquaphor. If I had to
that's gorgeous.
Super basic. Yeah.
I love that. It's also like simple, not basic. Like, that's gorgeous. It's like simple and classy. Okay. What's like your favorite vintage beauty look? It could have been from a movie, a fashion show, a magazine. Just like I always think like of Rene Russo's hair from the Thomas Crown Affair. Like, okay. Floaty, billowy, gorgeous.
Okay. I think probably that the look that instantly comes to my head is Dion from Clueless.
And
that is vintage now, right? That's like 30 years ago.
And if only she hadn't turned out to be a raging Republican, but she still had great style.
But her, as the character, let's not think about, is it Stacey Dash?
No, totally,
Stacey
yeah.
Dash?
So, yeah.
No,
and her style was everything in that movie.
Yes. Like, she was like black girl magic, as like Dion was. She was perfection.
Yes.
Loved her.
So good.
Yeah.
Okay, what about like, do you have like a Roman Empire movie, like a movie or a couple movies that you just like think about a lot frequently and you don't know why?
Clueless is one of them. The other one is Cinderella with Brandy and Whitney Houston.
Four white mice will never be four white horses. Such Valorum and Billy D of courses.
Impossible. Impossible.
For the world is full of zanies and fools
who don't believe in simple rules.
And don't believe what sensible people say. because he's Daft and Dewey eyed folks, keep building up impossible hopes, impossible things are happening
every day.
No, I was trying to get sing. I'm so upset. Okay, that's right. Would you have another one?
And probably Baz Luhrmann, Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, wow. What a good smattering of movies. Okay. Meh or major? Okay. Milk, makeup, jelly tint.
I literally tried this week. Major. Actually, really good.
Rode pineapple cleanser.
Okay. I don't have a quick answer to this. I'm sorry. It's good. No. It's a really good cleanser. Why does it not smell of pineapple? I get it why it doesn't, but how disappointing. Why are you going to call something pineapple and it just is so plain?
It's giving like pineapple enzyme.
It Which is really... exactly what it is. But it's also, it's the color of pineapple. So everything is there. So it's just like something that just really
Maybe she just like didn't want like a super, maybe she just like didn't want like a synthetic pineapple smell.
Yeah. I think she something. Should have just taken the pineapple name out.
Just gone for, oh, and it could have just been like a fruit enzyme.
Just road cleanser.
Yeah, like, yes. Or like road enzyme cleanser or something. Because the lip, that makes sense.
It's like peptide lip. Like it's not like she's got all these like fruity names for everything.
What about a money box? Like your money piece.
I love money pieces. Actually, that's very true. Like a old Dua Lipa. Love that.
Yeah.
Fun.
Okay, money piece. What about a bright root, like a bright or like a bright hair color placement?
I think that's fun. I live in London. You see that all the time in like Shoreditch. I love that.
What about hair bows?
Yeah, I love any experimenting with hair apart from chunky highlights.
What about like those feather hair extensions or those tinsel strand extensions?
They're coming back, aren't they? It's very 2000s coded. I think for a party, that's major.
I really hate both. And I know this isn't about me, but unless you're like 7 or 12, I am not vibing the feather or sparkle strand pieces.
I think for a party, it's major. That's why I was very specific. I can't imagine
seeing
that on the
bus. Even for a party, I just like, I can't believe that you're like, you went to go get that for the, like, why didn't like put on some fucking like glitter on your eyeball that you can wash off. Like, I can't believe you're going to like walk around with this fucking tinsel and yoga and like this little, I just can't.
Do you know what offends me more, babe? Is those camel lashes. Those like really heavy, really like it looks like their eyelids are like doing like 5K.
What about that snail mucus skincare stuff?
I have never put that on my face. So it's meh for me.
I want to try it.
I've seen people love it. So if they like it, I love it.
Okay,
that's what we're calling this segment.
That's what I'm here for it. Keeks Reed, where can people follow you? Where are you the most active? Is it Instagram? Is it TikTok? What's on the horizon for you? When can people book you for their face framing highlights and haircuts? When is it ready? And where can we stay in touch with you?
So I'm definitely most active on Instagram and then TikTok. It's at Keeks Reed, or one word, K-E-S-S-K. No. What? What was I even fucking spelling?
Did you forget your name?
I forgot how to spell my bloody name.
No.
I'll start that again. So you can find me on Instagram and TikTok, Keeks Reed, all one word, K-E-E-K-S-R-E-I-D. And you cannot book me for hairdressing unless you want to be a guinea pig. So I'm just at the start of that, but you can book me to do any presenting and panel jobs if you want. I'm definitely available for that. I'll catch you online.
All right, everyone, follow, because she really is such a great follow and such a great person. And I just love getting to talk with you. Keeks, thanks so much for coming on. Pretty Curious. We love you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, my love.
You've been listening to Pretty Curious with me, Jonathan Van Ness. You can learn more about this week's guest in the episode description and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Curious with JVN. Pretty Curious drops every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure to tune in every Wednesday for Getting Curious. Still can't get enough? Honey, you're insatiable. Subscribe to Extra Curious on Apple Podcasts for commercial-free listening and our subscription-only show, Ask JVN. where we're talking all about sex, relationships, or really just whatever's on my mind that week. Our theme music is composed by Nathaniel McClure. Come on, Nathaniel. Our editor and engineer is also Nathaniel McClure. Yes. Getting Curious is produced by me, Chris McClure, and Julia Melfi, with production support from Julie Carrillo, Ann Curry, and Chad Hall.